say yes, right to say no. Well, new affirmative consent reforms that, according to the New South Wales government, simplify, strengthen and modernise the laws around sexual consent come into effect in New South Wales today. And to, by way of explanation, what the changes are and what it all means, joining me now is the president of Newcastle Law Society, Gary Fox, who's on the line. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Richard, and good morning to all your listeners.
So, what are the major changes that come into effect today? What does this actually mean in practical terms?
The answer to that, I'm afraid, is not simple and straightforward. What has happened is that a process was adopted where the Law Reform Commission studied this situation commencing in 2018. They presented a report to the Parliament in late 2020. Legislation was developed and assented to by the Parliament in December 2021, and here we are. The legislation which talked about consent yesterday comprised about a page and a half. The new legislation is about double that length.
Right.
Perhaps the most important concept is that there's been a change in the wording in relation to reasonable belief. And there seems to be a little bit of academic debate as to whether that's substantially changed the law or not. That, I think, remains to be seen because, of course, these laws coming in today will only have effect on offences that are committed on or after today. And so the evidence in terms of court decisions and so forth won't be available until some time into the future.
All right.
What the legislation does is to go into a much greater degree of detail as to what is or isn't consent. And interestingly, perhaps allied with this, and your listeners may be aware of the fact, has been a public education campaign commenced late last month.
Yes.
What the attorney has said he's trying to do is not only have legislative change, but also bring about a change in community attitudes. That's the Make No Doubt campaign.
Right.
problems could possibly arise in terms of some of the definitions of when there is no consent. Your listeners won't be surprised to hear that there'd be no consent in circumstances where perhaps the victim had been the subject of some form of coercion or intimidation. No one could disagree with that. But the legislation says that that applies, that is to say that coercion or intimidation negates consent whenever the coercion or intimidation occurred. And so there might be a question as to how far before the act that results in the charge occurs was the intimidation. That might be an area of debate.
Right. And also, too, I notice you can't assume someone is consenting because they don't say no. Silence is not consent. Is a nod of the head consent?
Well, it may be. That's a question that's going to be one for what's referred to as the trier of fact, but predominantly that will be a jury. So that will be factual evidence that a jury will have to weigh up and decide whether that amounts to consent in all of the circumstances of the individual case.
Right.
Now, the legislation that went out yesterday required an examination of the steps that were taken to ascertain whether the victim consented to the particular sexual activity. The legislation that we now have today is, as I've tried to say, much more wordy. Now, I know that the attorney says in his press release that his intention is to simplify, strengthen and modernise. Well, it may not be the case that by having legislation that's sort of double the length of what we had before, that things are necessarily simplified. Lots of it is very clear. But whether it aids in the determination of individual cases, I'm sorry to say, remains to be seen.
Right. And look, we've had a number of, well, men ringing this morning saying that this puts the onus on men. Do you think that's a fair comment?
Well, at the risk of sounding like a lawyer, yes and no. the simple fact is, in our society, statistics tell us that sexual assault is indeed a gendered offence. The predominant number of perpetrators are men, but that's not to say that they're the only perpetrators.
Yes.
But walking away from or stepping away from that, the very intention of the legislation is to make it plain to people that they do need to consider consent and not just assume that someone is consenting, including because the person doesn't say anything, doesn't resist, doesn't say no. It's not the case that one can just assume that, therefore, I have consent.
Yeah.
And that circulates around the concept of whether it's reasonable to have that belief.
Look, another one of the things is a person can't consent if they're intoxicated. What if both parties are intoxicated and after the event they both say, look, I didn't know what I was doing?
As I understand the legislation, the intoxication of the alleged perpetrator is not to be taken into account in deciding whether or not that person had a reasonable belief in consent, whereas for the victim, and only a moment's thought about that would probably indicate why that is so, for the victim, if they're intoxicated, then the legislation says what people might think is common sense, that is, they just do not have the capacity to consent. Because consent involves some sort of mental process about thinking about what's happening or likely to happen and somehow indicating consent to that or not.
Well, it does sound like a field day for lawyers potentially, and certainly somebody who suggested that is Margaret Kinnean, and of course she's been acting as the barrister for Jared Hayne, and I think he's got his third trial on sexual assault allegations. She said that the new laws would see an influx of sex cases, and I'm quoting here from Margaret Kinnean, there are so many sex cases in the system now it is just ridiculous, and no doubt there will be more because of this. Do you think that's a fair comment?
I think, again, at the risk of avoiding the question, we just don't know.
Yeah.
I think because of the way in which this new legislation that commences today has spelled out in quite a degree of detail where consent does not exist, the law just says it is not consent, there is at least the potential for a greater number of complaints to be made. And statistically, again, I think it's accepted that sexual assault is underreported in the community.
Yes.
I'd bow to Ms. Kinnean's superior knowledge.
Right. One of the other aspects of the new legislation, consent must be present for every sexual act. If someone consents to one sexual act, it doesn't mean they've consented to others. I mean, it sounds like you've almost got to put something on paper and get both parties to sign it, Gary.
Well, that's an area of concern or perhaps potential concern, but it is what the legislation says. That is to say, you can imagine let me call it an intimate encounter between people that might progress from stage to stage.
Yeah.
And what the legislation appears to envisage is that at each new stage, and there's no clear dividing line between stage A and stage B, but at each new stage, the question of consent needs to be considered.
Sure, sure.
And as you said, just because someone consents under this legislation, just because someone consents to one particular type of sexual activity, does not by itself mean that they consent to some progression of that.
Yeah. Look, I think we'd all agree that something needs to happen to tackle sexual violence in the community, but it would appear, just briefly, that there are quite a few grey areas within this legislation, Gary?
Well, I think that's always the case because when legislation comes to be considered by courts, what we're looking at is words on a piece of paper or words on a database. And a series of facts that have occurred in the community have to be measured against these words on a piece of paper and see whether they fit the test.
Yeah.
And that's not always easy to predict because human nature is inherently unpredictable.
Well, as you said, we'll have to find out. And no doubt they come into effect today. We will really appreciate your time this morning, Gary. Thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.
Good, Richard. All the best. Thank you.
Gary Fox is the president of the Newcastle Law Society. And if you have been impacted by sexual assault, call 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-737-732.